It's not that you just go every week, here's my podcast for the week, everyone please listen to it. You create conversation about it in the lead up to the release of the podcast. And then you can also, I've seen quite a few podcasters do this, take the show notes or the transcript of your podcast and publish them as an article.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of POP. That's Podcast on Podcasting, and I'm your host, Adam AAA Adams. Yes, it's my real name. I don't know why my parents did it to me, but we've got Louise Brogan on the podcast today, and her parents didn't do that to her. Is that right, Louise?
They didn't,
you
but actually
Louise, Louisa.
No, but they did actually christen me Rebecca and then call me Louise. So I don't know, maybe your parents were Irish.
I have some Irish blood. I do.
That's totally where it comes true. From.
You can tell. You can tell. The fighting Irish. You're like, he's got a temper, that one. is that why they call it the fighting Irish, Louise?
There's not a lot of fighting going on here at the minute. But yes, traditionally, yes, possibly.
Is there like a lot of bar fights?
Well, I mean, I'm in my 40s now, so I'm not in too many bars where there would be bar fights.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And just for you, the listener, I just want to let you know who Louise Brogan is. She's a podcaster, which is cool because we only have podcasters or people that serve podcasters on this show. If you want to come on the show as well, if you want to have an interview with me and get a little bit of exposure, then you should contact me and we'll be happy to put you on the show as well. Just want to grow what you're doing. I call it influence, your impact, and your income. All three of those. Awesome. So, Louise, your podcast is all about LinkedIn. It's called LinkedIn with Louise, right?
Yes.
When did you start it? Why did you start it? And then I have a few more questions.
Brilliant. Okay, so I started it over 3 years ago, and then it wasn't called LinkedIn with Louise. It was called the Social Bee Podcast. So I started it because, so it's kind of a funny story. I had never heard of podcasting 4 years ago. And I was on a business accelerator program here in Northern Ireland. And one of the senior team leads on that program said to me, have you ever listened to podcasts? And I said, I don't know what a podcast is. So he said, oh, you should go and check out this podcast. And it was Seth Godin's podcast. It was like a 6-episode long podcast, I think. And I went home and I listened to it out walking my dog. And I was like, oh, my word, this is amazing. So I fell into this whole rabbit hole of discovering podcasts, and I knew I wanted to have my own podcast. So initially, the first 75 episodes, I would say, were me interviewing women who had left corporate who wanted to start a business and how they did it and what their experiences were. But then around that time, I niched down into teaching people how to use LinkedIn. So before that, I was a social media generalist. I taught people in business how to use all social media. So I niched down into using LinkedIn. And that's when the podcast changed. It became specifically about LinkedIn. And now I probably have 3 out of every 4 episodes are solo episodes. And then I might have 1 guest on a month on the podcast.
Oh, okay. 3 out of 4 are solo, and sometimes you'll have a guest. I have so many questions for you.
Excellent.
Number one, why did you niche? What was behind niching? Because there is a listener that says, well, Louise is probably good at all things social media. Why is she pigeonholing herself? Why is she blocking out all these potential customers and all this money that she could have made? Yeah. By just doing one of those little things, like she's not doing Facebook or Pinterest or any of these others anymore. She's only focusing on LinkedIn. So did your income just go way down when you niched?
The opposite. It went way up. So before I niched down to LinkedIn, I was actually an accredited trainer for Facebook and Instagram, and there only is about 25 of those in the whole of the UK. So I was trained by Facebook and Instagram how to use Facebook and Instagram for business. So I gave that whole thing up. And the reason I niched was, there's a couple of different reasons, but when you niche down into something, it means you can really, really get to grips with how to use that thing. And for me, that thing is LinkedIn. So I am knee deep in how to use LinkedIn for business. It has led to me speaking on stages across the world about LinkedIn. I am now a contributing writer for Social Media Examiner. I write solely about LinkedIn. And someone says, I need to use LinkedIn for my business. It's a no-brainer that they get in touch with me because LinkedIn is what I'm known for.
That's really cool. Mm. And wanted to find out as well, was it difficult switching? Like, you had all your branding for Social Bee. You had all of your time. My first podcast, I thought of it as my baby. I thought of it like my own offspring. I loved it so much. I cared about it so much. Most of us get really attached to those logos that we create, the podcast artwork that we create, the branding, the intro had to change, the outro had to change, the guests that you have on the show have to change. So what did it feel like rebranding?
I think moving to do more solo episodes was a bit scary, but actually has really paid off for me. Anyone who's watching us on video can see that I still actually have the Bee branding. So I still have Louise Brogan, the Social Bee, would be what I would be quite well known for, especially locally. So I didn't lose the Social Bee, but I did change the podcast name and the podcast art. And actually, Adam, I'm probably going to change the podcast art again because I don't really think it does me enough justice for being a podcast about LinkedIn. It makes a picture of me and the title of the podcast. But because I'd made the decision to change, I didn't want to have to wait to get a new podcast art. So I literally, this is a confession time, I made the podcast art myself. And people who are in the podcasting world will go, yeah, we can tell you made it yourself, Louise. But I think what I loved about the Social Bee podcast was actually talking to people and interviewing them. And I've been lucky enough that I have access to LinkedIn Live. So that's when people can go live on LinkedIn. It's not everybody's allowed to do that or has access to it. So what I'm actually doing now is I do a LinkedIn Live every week, usually on a Tuesday. And that's when I interview people about their businesses and how they got started. So it's kind of switched that Social Bee interview style piece that I really enjoyed doing and moved it to LinkedIn Live. So the LinkedIn Live, it's kind of the people behind the profiles, kind of what I call it. So I still have that part of my business or my marketing, I suppose, that I love. But changing the podcast, the numbers of listeners started to really grow as well when I start focusing on LinkedIn.
No one thinks about that. They always think the opposite. Lots of people come to me for podcast coaching. When you're known for LinkedIn and Social Bee, I'm known for a growing podcast, right? And so people come all the time and they say to me, I don't want to niche it because, or here's what I hear the most. I know that when I niche this, I'll have a smaller audience. That's okay because I'm getting to my real person. And they just feel so reluctant, but they're like, my audience is going to go way down, but that's okay. Opposite. So you're saying it, you actually got more listeners.
Yes.
Once you switch.
Yes. Because people know that when they listen to my podcast, they'll find out about tips and advice on how to use LinkedIn. So that's why they listen to it.
Love it.
Definitely. It's been such a game changer for my business, niching down.
So is it called LinkedIn with Louise or linking in with Louise?
So you can't use the word LinkedIn because it's trademarked. So I have my LinkedIn page is actually called Linking In with Louise because I wouldn't be allowed to have LinkedIn with Louise. But I generally tell people it's called LinkedIn with Louise when they're searching through their podcast.
It comes up.
They can see. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. When was the whole transition? Like you said, you heard your first podcast about 4 years ago. You had never heard about it, but somebody came up and had you listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
That opened your eyes to some new things. You started a podcast in what year? And then you rebranded in what other year?
So I want to say it's over 3 years old. So I think it must have been around Christmas time 3 years ago. So 2018. I know I have 165 episodes. Mm-hmm. So whatever that would be divided into. Yeah, so it's just over 3 years. And I made the decision to niche down around the mid-80s or 90s. And I think I declared on the podcast on 100th episode that from going forward, it was just going to be about LinkedIn.
So it's been about a little over a year it's been over 3 years and then over a year, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got it. Cool.
Yes.
And you don't miss the Social Bee podcast. You don't miss teaching about Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, no.
Okay, cool.
Well, you know why though, Adam? Social media changes so regularly. When you're trying to keep up to date with all of the changes on all of the platforms, it's nearly impossible if it's just you in the business. And even if you had a marketing team, and I've worked with companies where they have a marketing team and they know how to scratch the surface on all of the different social media, but they don't really know each one in depth because there's too much information out there and they change so much. And this is another reason why, like, if anyone's listening who works in social media, if you pick one platform and get to know it really, really well, you will be in demand in your business.
I love it. I've got you quoted, if you pick one platform, know it really, really well, you'll be in demand. I agree with you. I often teach this thing called the three pillars of influence. I call it the three pillars of influence. And I think of it like a stool that you would sit on, because I always have people ask me, what if I just do two of them? What'll happen? And I say, imagine having a three-legged stool and just cut one of them off. You just fall over. Like, that's what's going to happen. You will fail. Yeah. And so the three things are meeting in person, either by having a storefront or having like a Zoom call or Skype or whatever it is, FaceTime with you, your clients, people that can connect with you. Or maybe you're hosting a meetup group like meetup.com, or you're hosting workshop. And I know you do like once a month LinkedIn live. This is like the one you're meeting in person, having a good time to converse with other people. And so that's one of the pillars. You got to meet in person. That makes the level of trust go so much faster. Mm. But additionally, I think that you have to have, well, social media is one of them. I'll get into it in a sec. But you got to have a thought leadership platform as well. So that's number two, is your thought leadership. So for you, Luis, you actually have your podcast. And you might, do you have a book as well?
No, but I write a regular
blog. You seem like the person that would write a book. I'm just...
I am so ready to write a book.
you're like, Adam, you offended me. What does that mean, those people?
No, I literally have been thinking about writing a book for so long. And I actually wrote down the title of it last week.
So your thought leadership, this is like a YouTube channel, a Facebook community that you organize and run. Mm-hmm. It could be that meetup. That meetup could also be double as your meeting in person and your thought leadership. Hosting conferences, hosting workshops live or in person. This is the thought leadership. A book is a thought leadership and your podcast is also a thought leadership. But when people come to me and they're like, oh my gosh, I just heard you say all that. I have to have a Facebook group and a LinkedIn and I have to do this and this and this and this. I say, no, just focus on one thought leadership platform. Mm. Focus on one meeting people in person, one thought leadership platform. Because if you half-ass two things, you won't get very far. But if you full-ass one thing, you're going to get very far. So I always suggest that. And the same thing with social media. You got to be active on social media. You got to at least let people into your world, let them know what you do, show them your kids every now and again, tell them what you're doing in business. I think that that's critically important, meeting in person, having your thought leadership where they can talk about you, and then also having the social media where they can search for you and easily find you. And the podcast can double as being searchable as well, or YouTube could too. I have so many questions. The main one that the listener is wondering, they're like, WIIFM. That's her favorite radio station. They're wondering what's in it for them. And we've got this remarkable LinkedIn person. And my listener, who's also a podcaster, is like, why does it matter that she does LinkedIn? Yeah. And so here, I want to tie that in with you, Luis. I want you to share a couple of tips, tricks, or strategies from your expertise, your experience, your background.
Yeah.
But liken it to a podcaster wanting to grow their show through LinkedIn.
Yeah. So I absolutely know what I teach people about this. And it was interesting what you said about the pillars, because I also talk to people about pillars of four pillars of using LinkedIn, but we can talk about that in a minute. But basically, when you have a podcast and you know what your podcast topic is going to be. So I worked recently with a client who is a podcaster, and she has a podcast about resilience, and she does corporate workshops around resilience. So, but on her podcast, she interviews people who've done extreme things, like they've walked to the North Pole or they have rowed across the Atlantic or something like that. And she said to me, how can I use LinkedIn to promote my podcast? How's that going to work? So I said, if the podcast is coming out on Wednesday, on Monday, go into LinkedIn and create a poll about whatever the person's going to talk about on the podcast on Wednesday. So if your guest on Wednesday has rowed across the Atlantic, go to LinkedIn on Monday and say, have you ever done some kind of extreme journey? I'd love to hear from you if you've ever thought about doing one of the following. Number one, rowing across the Atlantic. Number two, swimming the English Channel or American equivalent. Number three, hiking the Grand Canyon. Or number four, anything else, let me know below. So your network starts to talk about, oh, who on earth would row across the Atlantic? And they start to comment underneath. And then you say, well, I think you'll really enjoy this Wednesday's podcast where I interview Michael, who's rowed across the Atlantic, not once, but twice. So you're sparking interest with the content that you're sharing on Monday. Your audience are starting to engage and answer questions about it. And then on the Wednesday, you go, ta-da, here's the podcast. And all the people who talked about it on Monday, you could even say, Adam, I know you were talking about how you would love to row across the Atlantic. Or Mark, you said about, you know, you wanted to hike to the North Pole, but here's the podcast where I interview Michael talking about his extreme journey. So tune in and have a listen and let me know what you think. So it's not that you just go every week, here's my podcast for the week, everyone please listen to it. You create conversation about it in the lead up to the release of the podcast. And then you can also, I've seen quite a few podcasters do this, take the show notes or the transcript of your podcast and publish them as an article on your LinkedIn profile. So for those people, so you're repurposing it really, the people who don't necessarily listen to podcasters, who are those people? They rather read something, they can read it as an article. So you're still growing your following and engaging with people and showcasing your knowledge and expertise through the writing and the questions and the actual podcast itself.
Holy cow, that was a lot. I'm going to try to unpack it.
Okay.
Luis, always going back to, if you pick one, you'll be successful. If you pick one, you'll be successful. I agree with Luis, if you are a consultant for social media, it will be much better if you pick one. But if you're a podcaster, if you could go all in, full ass one thing, you're going to crush it instead of half-assing a couple. If the podcast interview is coming out on Wednesday, you mentioned.
Yeah.
And you come in a couple days early on LinkedIn. And here's the big takeaways that I got. So on Monday, you go to LinkedIn and you ask questions. That is critical. You didn't say you go in, you make a post. You didn't say you go in and you tell people that it's coming out. You said you go in and you ask questions. This and this is happening. What do you think about this? I wondered what your advice would be about this. What questions would you have about this? The questions stop the scroll. It's a pattern interrupt from all the other people that are telling, but you're asking. And it's different, and they actually stop. The next word that you used was also something that must be discussed on this podcast. It was the word engage. Yes. It was the word engage. So you're getting them to engage, and you're engaging with them. You're going back. And I love this next part. You said, tune in and listen, and I put it in big, bold letters, let me know what you think. Interestingly enough, I have seen, because I used to run a lot of meetup groups and I used to teach and train people how to grow their meetup groups and their conferences to have lots of people come. I used to do a lot of that before the pandemic, but it's not happening right now as we record, and that's okay. I remember, though, one of the big things that I would do when I was trying to get lots of people to come is I would go in and I would say something like on a private message to somebody who could potentially be coming. And I say something to the effect of, would love to see you there. I want to talk about the things that you're doing in this space. Maybe we could speak for a few minutes before the event or a few minutes after the event. Now we've got that person visualizing them actually being there, which yeah. when you create it spiritually, it can manifest itself physically. It makes it very difficult not to. If you just say, tune in, listen, they might miss a lot of the things. They might tune, they might subscribe, but they probably won't listen until you say, let me know what you think. And they're like, oh man, I'm going to be accountable. Adam's going to be coming to this meetup expecting me to talk about this industry related thing with him before or after the event. I better plan to show up early. Let me know what you think. I better actually listen because Luis is going to ask me my thoughts and I've got to have an answer. So I'm going to actually take notes.
Yeah.
So I love how you say, let me know what you think. I think I am saying the word think too many times, but I really believe that that is part of your success. There's a lot of psychology in what you're talking about. Coming in on Monday, asking questions, engaging and asking people to tune in, listen, and let you know what you think.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have to be direct to do the thing. So when you say, tune in, listen, let me know what you think. They're like, okay, that's the 3-step process. I got it. And in a moment, Luis, you're going to be able to share your 4 pillars as well. I also really enjoyed this 4th takeaway. You mentioned that you can take a transcript. I'm going to have a question on this as well, by the way.
Okay, great.
You mentioned that you could take the transcript, like you can go to Descript or there's other companies out there. My team, when we do post-production for people, when we do the transcript, we will run it through a program and then we have to edit it. Like no program has been perfect so far. So we'll have to go in and then we'll have to tweak it, make sure that the punctuation is correct and where it needs to be. Make sure if we say the word sets, S-E-T-S, that it doesn't come across as sex. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, that's embarrassing. I wrote it wrong. So you do have to still, once you do the transcript, you have to switch a few things. You have to make sure that you're not going to embarrass yourself. Make sure the punctuation is right as well. So you do that. And then it's you're saying is you create a published article, a LinkedIn article, which as I understand, and I could be wrong because I'm not the LinkedIn expert. These LinkedIn articles are one of the highest rated SEO for your podcast. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
Awesome.
You're right.
I like being right. I wish my sweetheart were here right now so she could be like, wow, Adam's been right 3 times this year now. And it's only March. It's only April. All right. So take the transcript, publish it as a LinkedIn article. My question on that before I get into the 4 pillars with you.
Yes.
Is I'm launching this podcast. We're like doing this before it's actually even launched. We're recording it before it's launched because we're launching it next week. Okay. But the question is, I'm planning on doing over 60 episodes in the first 60 days, which means I'll publish the trailer episode pretty soon. And then it means that I'm going to publish like a mini course, like right after the first episode. It's a mini course on podcasting. It's like the first 6 episodes. And then it goes into every other. I like how you do 3 where you do solo and then 1 where you do an interview.
Yeah.
I'm doing 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. So for the first 60 days, this podcast is airing. It's interview, solo, interview, solo, interview, solo. My question is, with that many episodes, should I be writing 60 articles in 60 days, 30 articles in 60 days, or should I just try to pick like 1 article a week? What's kind of the best timing on that?
Such a good question, Adam.
I have really good questions because I'm a podcaster and I practice all the time. Like really, really good questions. And I'm especially humble also.
Those
are my
excellent
2 qualities.
I think that, if you have the bandwidth, I think I would go for the article every day. I actually think that would be amazing, because I would then like to see what impact that has on your LinkedIn following.
So you want me to be the guinea pig? You want me to stress and have all this pressure only because you're like, I don't know if it'll work, but if Adam says it'll work, I'll have other people do it. But
I don't know.
Are you going to pay me to be your guinea pig for this?
No, but we could get you on LinkedIn Live to talk about it.
I love it. That is like paying me.
The other bit about what I do, not all podcasters can do this, but with the Monday questions about the podcast on the Wednesday, if there's a guest on the podcast, I bring that guest on to LinkedIn Live on the Friday to answer questions from my LinkedIn network that they might have from having listened to the podcast. So it kind of pulls it all full circle.
Wait, I'm confused on that. There's just a timing that I'm curious about.
Yeah.
It sounds like you do a LinkedIn Live on Friday.
Yeah.
And then on a Monday, you propose some more questions. And then on a Wednesday, you actually record the podcast with that guest that you just had on Friday.
No, no.
I knew I could be wrong.
Okay, so
my sweetheart will be so happy if she hears this.
So say I did a podcast interview with Joanne this morning. It's all recorded. It's in the bag. My editor has it. It's scheduled to go out next Wednesday. So my guests know that part of agreeing to come on my podcast means they're also agreeing to come on a LinkedIn Live the week that their podcast episode gets released. So it's recorded today.
After it comes out. If it came out on a Wednesday, then you would do a LinkedIn Live 2 days after.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And then people can join us on the live and ask questions, having listened to the interview that came out on the Wednesday.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So the listener, our listener, not yours, ours, the collective listener that you and I have right now is like, what are these four pillars? This is going to be straight fire. I want it. I need it. Like, why are you talking? Adam, stop asking about your 60 episodes in 60 days. That's so selfish. That doesn't serve me. I just want to know the four pillars. And so, cool.
So it's just really funny because I talk about it as a three-legged stool. Okay. And the seat, so if you think of your LinkedIn as a three-legged stool, the seat, which is the base, is your LinkedIn profile. So you have got to have a good, strong LinkedIn profile, and then it is supported by the three legs of the stool. And those are, number one, building a genuine network around you on LinkedIn, full of people who are potential customers and clients, but they're also collaborators and people you're interested in. So not just connecting with anybody and everybody. So building a really genuinely valuable network, the one that you like to engage with so that you like to go to LinkedIn. The second leg is showing up and providing content for the people who have joined you in your network on LinkedIn. Because still only 1% of people actually post anything on LinkedIn. Most people just go and scroll through the LinkedIn newsfeed and don't actually post anything. So you've got to get your name out there by posting content, whether that is starting conversations, sharing your podcast, whatever it is. If you are posting something on LinkedIn, you're in the top 1% of action takers on LinkedIn, which is still crazy to think about. And then the third leg of the stool, or the fourth pillar, is use LinkedIn Messenger. And I strongly recommend that when you connect with somebody on LinkedIn, you send them a personalized invitation, which kicks off your messaging one-to-one with them. So they're no longer part of this 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people in your network. It's a person you're having a one-to-one conversation with in the messaging inbox. And I would say that 9 out of every 10 people that work with me have come to me through LinkedIn Messenger. So they don't post under my posts and say, oh, I want to know more about this, Louise. They send me a private message and say, could I have a chat with you about your services and how to work with you? And that comes through LinkedIn Messenger. And
so
I think
they're reaching to you.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah, they're pretty
so
much.
So you don't
all
have
inbound.
Like a spam bot, just like, hey, I help with LinkedIn. Hey, I help with LinkedIn.
No.
Well, a lot of people have that.
I know.
When I'm on LinkedIn, I'm just sitting there and everybody's like, wow, Adam, you have a great story. It's just like, you're not really reaching anyone. I could help. I'm a LinkedIn person. And no. So like, I was already turned off when we were starting. I was like, oh no, she's one of those spam botters.
No.
All right. So they're messaging you. 9 out of 10 yes. of them find you. Where? How do they find you?
Because I show up on LinkedIn and I help people by the content I provide. So it's not here's me and here's the Louise story. It's here's how to use LinkedIn. Here's how to write a good profile. Here's how to create a LinkedIn product page. Here's how to use LinkedIn Messenger. Here's 5 things not to do on LinkedIn. So the people in my network connect with me and follow me because they want to learn how to use LinkedIn. So that's what I give them.
Now you're saying that there's 5 things not to do on LinkedIn.
Well, there's
now we have to dive into that.
There's lots of things not to do.
Well, Louise, here's a question. I do want to make sure that I'm taking good notes.
Sure.
And getting everything into the show notes of the episode as well. So number one, I love that you said that top 1% of action takers on LinkedIn are the people that are posting regularly, because most people don't. And I heard that LinkedIn had more followers than almost any other platform in the world. Like, there's just tons of users. But as you stated, maybe 1% of them approximately are posting regularly.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, and I definitely want to mention that. You also said that it's the 4 pillars, and one of the pillars is the seat, and the seat is your LinkedIn profile.
Profile.
So like, you want to make sure that it's SEO friendly, you want to make sure that it's inviting, you want to make sure that it has a good hook and that people are going to read it. And, you know, maybe your image, maybe that your hat's not covering your eyes, or that you're wearing sunglasses, or that you look like a mean, angry man. A lot of people that are like folding their arms and they're just like, they have the grumpiest face on there. And they're like, I want people to know that I'm a tough guy. I'm really just want people to know that they can't mess with me. And so they're folding their arms. And I just think that that body language and that grumpy face is not inviting. I'm just saying. So you talk about that profile being the main thing. And then you said the 3 legs, and I didn't take great note of it. One of the things that I definitely noticed was, you said you've got to be messaging people. Like, if you're connecting with somebody, you want to make sure that you're connecting with the right people and you're sending a DM, a LinkedIn message. So LinkedIn message, that was one of the 3 pillars, the 3 legs, I mean. And what are the other 2 legs?
Content.
Content.
And network.
Network. So when you say content and network, like, I assume that the content needs to be focused content. You're not just like throwing out like quotes every day. You're not just like saying social media is the best, and if you need help with LinkedIn, I can help. You're like focusing it on LinkedIn, right?
Yes. For you. Well, for me, yes. So if you think about going to LinkedIn and where it says, so for people who are listening who use LinkedIn, you'll know where I'm talking about. But if you don't ever use LinkedIn, at the top of the news feed on your profile, it says start a post. And that's where you write your post or you share your article or whatever you want to do. But if you change that in your head and think start a conversation, that's the best way to share content on LinkedIn. So for me, LinkedIn is the online equivalent of going to a big industry in-person conference. So you walk in the door, you meet people by speaking to them and asking them how they are and finding out about them. So that's your connecting and sending messages. You don't just talk about yourself, because nobody at that conference is going to want to talk to you if you're just talking about yourself. You would walk up to somebody, or you'd sit at a table. Maybe you just had a workshop. You've sat down with somebody with your coffee waiting for the next speaker to start, and you start a conversation. That is how business networking works. And that's what LinkedIn is. It's just an online version of business networking. So start conversations with your audience, your network on LinkedIn. Build a network full of people that you want to talk to. So choose the table to sit at where you're interested in the people who are at that table. And if you're the person standing with your sunglasses on, your arms folded, looking grumpy, no one's going to come up and start a conversation with you. Or they're going to think, well, if I start a conversation with him, he's just going to talk about himself. And that's going to be so boring. I'm going to have to like think of an excuse to get away. But you're never going to do business with him, are you? Yeah.
So toward the beginning of today's episode, you mentioned that you have a lot of women that have left corporate. Like, this, it seems like that might be your avatar. So I have a question. Like, could somebody like me be on your podcast? If I'm a man.
Yeah.
I'll just put that out there. And you usually work with women that have left corporate. So I'm curious, like, would I be a good guest on your LinkedIn show?
Yep. So when I started the Social Bee podcast, the goal of that was to interview women who had left corporate. So now, in my role as a LinkedIn consultant, I work with, I would say, the individuals who tend to hire me are usually women who have left a corporate role and are have started their own coaching or consultancy business, definitely. But I also work with a lot of corporates. So one of the articles I wrote recently for Social Media Examiner was about product pages for software companies. And I'm working with at least three B2B software companies who want to use LinkedIn and don't want to just pay for Sales Navigator and send out 100 spam bot messages every day. They want to actually understand how LinkedIn works. So I'm hired by those kinds of companies who bring me in to train their team on how to write your LinkedIn profile for business, how to reach out to people without being spammy, how to find the right connections to make, and how to show off your amazing software on LinkedIn that's going to attract the right people to buy from you. So I definitely have an audience of these ex-corporate women and women in academia as well. But I also have lots of male clients, and my podcast guests tend to be people who can give value to my audience, which is what a podcast guest should be.
Awesome. I'm fully with that. So number one, you've got to get your platform going, and that's kind of like the first pillar. And then the three legs underneath that really make that resonate is that you're messaging with people one-on-one. You're making sure that you have the right network, and then that you're having the right content that's really focused on what you're doing and adding value to the right person.
Exactly.
As far as the network goes, I have in my past life, a long time ago, like I actually had to redo my LinkedIn profile because I couldn't friend anyone anymore. I was not allowed to even request anyone. And it was really embarrassing. And I'll just say it right here, right now, for full confessions. My name is Adam Adams, and I just tried to friend thousands and thousands of people. I don't remember how many. I think I had like 25,000 followers. And one day, because I used to be on my cell phone, I don't know if it still does this, but I would search like doctor, because I wanted people with a lot of money. That's who I wanted. So I would be like doctor in wherever they make the most amount of money. And I would type that in. And then all I would do is I would go friend, 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 or connect, 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 connect. I never sent any like private message to them. That would have just been too slow. I could have never got to 25,000 followers if I did that.
No,
it would have taken
no.
forever. So I would just like add maybe 1,000 or 2,000 people every single day. And all of a sudden, LinkedIn says, you need to know this person's email to send them something. And I'm like,
I don't
even know them. I don't even know the person. How am I supposed to get their email? And I was just kind of sobbing. So I would probably say that in your experience, you would have been able to protect me if I consulted with you before I did all that fun stuff and had
100%.
Now I only have a couple thousand followers because I've like redone it, and I'm like, do not do that.
No,
so we will.
Not.
We'll still like send private messages as we're connecting with people.
Yeah,
but I want to find out the best practices for that. Like when we connect with people.
Yeah,
I'm guessing we don't do this, but you can correct me. Do we jump in and we say, hey, I want to connect with you because I help people on LinkedIn. Here's my website and here's my email if you need, and here's my phone number and you can call me. And if you want to connect with me on Facebook, here's all my other social media. And it's like just a giant long post to make sure that you don't miss anything.
I think if I did that, I wouldn't have a business.
All right. So what's kind of the secret sauce then?
Okay. So I just actually this morning worked with a VIP client and we created her LinkedIn account. She didn't have a LinkedIn account before. And so she says, well, literally teaching her from scratch. And so she's nobody in her network, obviously.
I have to interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
How did she find you if she didn't have LinkedIn? I thought that was how everybody found you.
Because she works in the law, and a person who she mentors hired me, who found me on LinkedIn, and the person who she mentored said, you need to speak to Louise.
I derailed the conversation. I want you to get right back where you were and go.
Okay. So finding people to connect with, start with people that you've actually met in real life would be a good start. And then it's easy to send a connection request to say, hi, Adam. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I'd love to connect with you here on LinkedIn.
Are you going to do that with me?
100%. Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
I get quite a lot of people who say, hi, Louise. I heard you on Adam's podcast and I'd like to.
They already say that?
Yeah, even though we're not even live.
All right. I need to stop class clowning and let you get back to it. I'm going to do that now.
So say you see an article that is of interest. So they say it's an article about podcasting someone has shared and there's conversation happening underneath it and it's really interesting and you're thinking, oh, I love what that guy says there. And you click on their name. This is why your profile is so important. You click on their name, you read their profile and you think, yeah, I want to add that person to my network. And you say, hey, John, I love what you said on that article by Adam. I'd love to connect with you here on LinkedIn. If you're happy to connect, don't just send connection requests and say, I'd like to add you to my network. You want to say, how did you find them? Why are you connecting with them? And if you can make 2 to 3 strong connections every day, and those people, you have a conversation with those people, like how many clients do you need? If you're selling thousands of widgets, obviously it's completely different. But if you're working in a business where you only really need 10 clients a month and you connect with, say, 20 people in a month, over this course of time, you're going to have plenty of people reaching out to find out how to work with you. Or what happens with me as well is someone will get in touch with me and say, oh, my friend Tracy follows you on LinkedIn, says you're the person I need to speak to. Can you help me with LinkedIn, please, Louise? That is very standard for the kind of messages I would get. But just reach out to connect with somebody over something that you have seen them write, heard them say, or something they've shared that's of interest. And if you can't find anything like that, then why are you actually connecting with them? If it's just you're trying to find clients, then
mic drop.
It's not really how LinkedIn works. It's about building relationships. It's not about, right, okay, I want to work with 10 pediatricians. I'm just going to connect with 10 pediatricians because they're pediatricians. If you say, hi, Dr. Clark, someone said that you wrote this paper about whatever for toddlers. I'm really interested in that. And I'd like to connect with you on LinkedIn. Dr. Clark's going to go, oh, wow, I've had 10 connection requests today. You're the only one who's actually bothered to send me a message. I'm going to reply to you, or at least you're going to stick at the top of my head.
Yeah, so brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's all about flattery. When
someone says to me, like,
genuine.
I heard you on this and I'd like to know how you work with people. You're like, oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So you mentioned, how many clients do you need? Like how I was like connecting with, I don't know. I couldn't tell you, at least several hundred people a day that I was sending these out to until I basically got blocked. And I was like, ugh. Somebody told me that you want to be really careful with the people you're connected with on LinkedIn. And just like you said, that's one of the pillars. Somebody had told me that. And I'm like, I don't know anyone who I'm connected with. Yeah. Like, out of the 25,000, I know maybe 500.
But the other thing is, Adam, so if you connect with, I don't know, 10,000 people on your network on LinkedIn, and you know that in that network, there's definitely 100 people who you could really help with your business, how on earth are you going to find them and their posts amidst all that clutter from all those other people who are just sharing nonsense?
Is that a rhetorical question, or do I have to answer that?
No, you don't have to.
I don't know if I'll be able to. I don't know how I can. There's like no way.
It's going to be really, really hard.
Answer that. All right. I'll just connect with fewer people. So you mentioned, how many clients do you really need? Mm. You don't need to do what Adam did the first time. And it's really this mile wide, inch deep versus mile deep, inch wide. And you're going deep with people. You're actually connecting with people. Not with profiles, you're connecting with people. Additionally, I loved how you mentioned every day you might connect with 3 people that you care about, 3 people that are perfect, and you will spend time cultivating that. I don't know if I'm doing anything wrong specifically on Clubhouse, But this Clubhouse to Instagram thing is reminding me of what you're talking about.
Oh.
Only because I jump on Clubhouse and I ask people to DM me if they want a certain thing. And sometimes people will just DM me because they're wanting to connect or they want help with their podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, not to brag or something like that, I mean, saying this more to complain, I have like a couple thousand unique messages that came from LinkedIn, came from, you're reminding me of LinkedIn, came from Clubhouse to Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, these are all super, no offense to them, they're my friends too. But I'm like, these are all superficial, like, I don't know anything about any, there's too many. I could never know when you were talking about dive into LinkedIn and not Facebook and all these other socials.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I'm a mile wide and just an inch deep with thousands of people, literally yeah. thousands of unique conversations.
Yeah.
And I'm hyperventilate. I go into some type of convulsions or something because of it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't deal. Every time I'll like spend hours connecting, it's like messaging people back. And it's like, none
that's exhausting.
Of them are real. None of them are real. It's all exhausting.
Yeah.
And as soon as I'm done with hours, I still have like another thousand that are unopened. I need to take everything that I learned from you today mm-hmm. on this episode, and I need to liken it and figure out how to make it happen a similar way on other social media platforms.
Yeah.
That I must be on. Now, obviously, LinkedIn is the best. I shouldn't be anywhere else. I'm not trying to offend you. But I am, and I need to figure out how to take what you've taught me and mm-hmm. actually implement it.
Cool.
So your podcast is LinkedIn with Louise.
Yes.
Or there's another way to say it because of, I guess, laws and...
Yeah, linking in with Louise.
Linking in. Linking in with Louise. You've given just so much value here on this podcast.
Good.
So I hope that the listener jumps over and learns how to get their LinkedIn profile ready to go with the five mistakes and everything that you teach. Maybe you and I can do some type of LinkedIn to promote this one when it goes out. I'll have to connect with you on that.
Yes, that would be fun.
Let's wrap it up right now. But mm-hmm. is there like one or two things that you do want to share with the listener about their podcast to be able to grow it on LinkedIn that we might not have shared so far?
Yeah, I think if you can create conversation around what you'll be talking about on your podcast, you'll get people interested to go and check out your podcast. So rather than just announcing that your new episode is out, start a conversation around whatever the topic is and connect with people who are interested in that topic. And that will serve you much better on LinkedIn than just broadcasting out at people.
That's another mic drop. That was the second time you could have dropped a mic in one episode.
Excellent.
Louise Brogan from LinkedIn with Louise. Please jump over, find her podcast. And if you do, and I know I've said this before, I genuinely want to ask you, if you are going to listen to an episode or two and just give her an honest rating and review. Just rate and review her honestly, how the podcast is, so that she knows. And sneakfully, some people say that's not really a word. I don't know, but I use it. Sneakfully, you are going to say, I heard about you on the podcast on podcasting. That will make me feel really good too. I'll go look at it and I'll be like, oh, sweet. Two people found her from me. That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
Louise, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. You've outdone yourself today. And I hope that the listener will connect with you, find you, Louise Brogan.
Yes.
How many Louise Brogans are there in the world? There's only seven Adam Adamses. So it's pretty easy to find me.
I don't actually know how many there are. I haven't looked. There's more than one.
How do they know if
LinkedIn.
They found the right one? If they go to LinkedIn right now, how do they know if they found the right one?
Because it said, well, first of all, it's Belfast, Northern Ireland, but also my headline is LinkedIn consultant. There's only one Louise Brogan.
Headline
LinkedIn
is
consultant.
LinkedIn consultant. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you for jumping in. And to the listener, if you want to grow your show, if you already have a show, reach out to me. Go to growyourshow.com. Schedule a call with me. Be more than happy to support you. And if you haven't launched yet, well, then that's even better. It's even easier to go ready, aim, fire, start from scratch, and have a final, finished product. That sounds weird. Final finished product. I shouldn't have said that. You will have an awesome product that's clean and is bringing you your perfect listener, your perfect avatar, day in and day out. Go to growyourshow.com. I'm Adam Adams. This is Louise Brogan, and we're out. This episode's brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.